Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The Knicks start interviewing coaches that don't have jobs. The Red Sox trade their best player. And the Mets and Yankees are on a bit of a slide. But we begin today's show with the Stanley Cup Finals. It's all over, folks. It's all over. The Florida Panthers beat the Edmonton Oilers on Tuesday to win the Stanley Cup in back-to-back years, 5-1. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl were nullified by Bobrovsky and a swarming Panther defense. So, Z, did the results of this series answer the question of whether a goalie or scorers are more important to a hockey team?
Well, it helps having more than two, right? It helps having more than... Sam Reinhart had four. And he had four goals in the cup-clinching game, right? Sam Bennett, I believe, had 19 goals, something absurd in the entire playoffs, earning him the Conn Smythe. So it's not just having goal scorers, it's having a lot of goal scorers, having deep depth, as we like to say. You need deep depth. Can't have shallow depth.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's like these Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid are two of the best. They're two of the best. I don't want to hear the nonsense that the Oilers need more. The Oilers need more. Come on, man. That's not true at all. These guys should have been able to take this Panther team down, especially facing them for the second time. Should have learned from your mistakes. I mean, come on, Z. What does this do for McDavid's legacy? I mean, in my opinion, it trashes it. You're not Sidney Crosby. You're not Mario Lemieux. You're not Brett Hull. You're not any of these great players or great scorers. And it's almost like the Josh Allen thing. Like, I don't know if you can come back from this. Josh Allen has lost to Pat Mahomes so many times. I don't think he has fallen on the ground. Even if he goes to the Super Bowl and wins next year, you still got a lot of ground to make up. I mean, do you feel the same way with McDavid?
Connor McDavid is a supremely talented individual. The problem is that he is running up against teams that are better than his team. And it's true. They were better than them last year. The Panthers are better than them this year. The Edmonton Oilers got deeper this year than they were last year. And it's still not enough. The Florida Panthers traded for Brad Marchand, for Christ's sake. Like, they traded for the captain of the Boston Bruins. Meanwhile, today at the parade, they were chanting, "Thank you, Boston." When,
oh, really?
Yeah, they were chanting when Marchand had the
parade. Was it today?
I believe the parade was today.
They
or
had
was yesterday.
The parade today?
They already had it.
They just won yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. And they were drunk. He had a Starbucks, a Surfside, and he had a beer in his elbow. Like, Brad Marchand was ready to go. I don't even know if he slept.
Oh, wait. Quickly. What's a bigger kick in the balls? A Canadian team being beaten by Florida in the Stanley Cup final? Or Canada kicking our ass in Boston in the Fatal Four, or the four-way dance?
Or the Four Nations?
Four Nations. What's a bigger kick in the dick?
Well, I gotta say that... Well, it's a bigger context situation. The Four Nations is relatively new. The Canadian team has not won the Stanley Cup since 1993. Patrick Waugh was in goal. Now Patrick Waugh is the head coach of the New York Islanders. Yeah, the Islanders. Right? The last time the Montreal Canadiens won a cup, right? Representing the nation of Canada, Patrick Waugh was in goal. So that's all you need to know about that. But Bobrovsky is better than Skinner. The Oilers, they do not have enough. They just don't. If you run up against a team, it's going to...
I can't believe you're saying that. guys look, are like the two best scorers in the league, man.
What do they need?
Else they need? What, you want Alex Ovechkin? Like, who else do we got? Do they need Brad Marchand? Like, who do we have to throw
them? Yes, they need a guy like Sam Bennett. They need a guy like Sam Reinhart. They need guys who put the puck in the...
Those guys are not good enough. Those
Kane didn't play the entire regular season, and Nurse is a defenseman.
Nurse is a good player, man.
Darnell, they need more good players. Bouchard is merely okay, right? They brought in Klingberg. Not good. Klingberg was not good for them. Corey Perry was good for them. Arvidsson wasn't great for them. Skinner, not Stewart, Jeff. Where the hell was Jeff Skinner? Stewart Skinner was an abomination. Calvin Pickard was, you know, he was 7-0 replacing Skinner this year. Like, that's all you need to know about Stewart Skinner. Like, it's a flawed team. And we thought that they addressed those flaws, and then Florida is just the perfect storm to expose every single one of those flaws. Why? Because of the system they play. It's rugged, it's fierce, and they're skilled. Right? It's a perfect storm. It's completely north-south. They don't fuck around. They're not trying to play QT east-west shit. They are going down your throat. Like, ask the Rangers about the Florida Panthers. Right? Down their throat. Down their fucking throat.
About the Hurricanes.
No, they weathered the storm. They beat the Hurricanes. The Rangers beat the Hurricanes. They don't...
The last several years, though, the Hurricanes have been a problem. They
don't do well with the Florida Panthers because the Florida Panthers don't stop. Like, the Carolina Hurricanes are the New York Knicks of the NHL. They grind down, grind down, grind down. They run out of gas. Right? Rod Brind'Amour, shelf life. We said it last week. We wouldn't be surprised if Pete DeBoer takes over for Rod Brind'Amour after he gets fired. There's a shelf life there. And that's the MO of Paul Maurice. That's the MO of Matthew Tkachuk. That's the MO of Brad Marchand. We're going to wear you down. You're going to do something stupid, and we are going to capitalize. And they have enough guys on that roster. I didn't even mention like Carter Verhaeghe. I didn't mention their captain. I didn't mention Barkov, who, this is insane. His hand, like, he actually split the palm of his hand open. They sutured it shut. It ripped open twice, and he had to super glue his hand shut. And he was still shutting down Connor McDavid. He shut Connor McDavid down with a hand that was, like, mangled. But this is... Hockey players are a different fucking breed, man. Like, that's all you gotta say. Like, I got a headache. I'm gonna sit. Bullshit. Bullshit you are.
My back's a little tight.
I'm gonna take him out and shoot him. Like, what is this shit? But no, like, that's the thing. McDavid got neutralized for the most part. Draisaitl started off great. Draisaitl was a no-show last year. So we need to give some credit to the Florida Panthers, but we also need to take into account that the people that they brought in seemingly to fix the depth issue, it's just Florida has their number, plain and simple. And they need more. They need better. I don't know if it's a guy like, you know, I don't know who it is. I really don't know, because you want a guy who can match Florida's physicality and match their talent level. Those guys are few and far between, right? You're looking at a guy like maybe Mason Marchment from Dallas. Like, maybe you can get him, but still, he hasn't had he's had an injury-plagued career. He's only played 82 a couple times, and even then, he's on the long side of 30. So I think we need to start taking into account that the Edmonton Oilers window might be shutting here. I think we need to start thinking about that.
And like I said, for me, his Connor McDavid is done. Like, you can't rebound from this. You can't even John Elway this shit. Like, even if you were to get your stuff later on in your career, you're still going to be compared to, like, to Crosby, to Gretzky. You know, all these great players that got their Stanley Cups. Like, you've just lost out on that. I think there's a stat where He's one of those players who has scored the most points in a season and has never won a Stanley Cup, like something like that. Mm-hmm. I can't get it right off the top of my head, but it's like you're just a guy. You're a good player this era that we're in, but you're no Ovechkin, you're no Lemieux, you're no Gretzky. I mean, being beaten by the Florida Panthers twice in 2 years. I mean, I'm over him. But
my thing is this though. We're saying he's not Lemieux, he's not Gretzky, he's not like the roster amassed by Edmonton to protect Gretzky. Let's talk about that for a second, right? Like, yes, Gretzky was the star, but you had Messier and you had Jari Kurri and Adam Graves was there. I believe you had was Paul Coffey on that team? No, Kevin Lowe was definitely on the team. I don't think Paul Coffey was, but Kevin Lowe definitely was. Craig McTavish was on that team. I believe Marty McSorley was on that team. If not, he was in LA. Like, they always, those teams were loaded. And then you look at a team like, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah, you have Lemieux, but you had Kent Stevens and Jaromir Jagr. And Brian Trottier was on those teams. Tom Barrasso was in goal. But you had such good teams. Like, they were loaded from top to bottom. And then you look at a team like the Edmonton Oilers now, and they're not loaded from top to bottom, right? Think about recent.
And they're one of the oldest teams, too.
Yeah. Now, but look at, like, Florida's loaded from top to bottom. When Tampa Bay was at the height of their dynasty and a few years back, they were loaded from top to bottom, right? So it's up to Edmonton to reinforce this and build the team where it's deep enough from top to bottom. And, you know, Zito, the GM of the Panthers, he has done that. He has fortified the team and they've changed how they do things. If you remember when Andrew Brunette was there a few years ago, they were a prissy, like, east-west passing team, and then they got beat. Mm-hmm. Didn't renew Brunette, hired Paul Maurice, then they changed their style of play, brought in Tkachuk, then brought, you know, they just kept, they reinvented themselves on the fly. So Edmonton can still reinvent themselves. There's still time. It's closing. It's not closed. Now, one thing they got to do, they got to invest in a keeper. They really need to invest in a goalie, man. Zigoli, he definitely laid some eggs, but the rest of the team in front of him did not do him any favors.
Right.
So this was definitely a team loss, for sure.
Definitely team loss. I really, truly believe he did the best he could, but his talent can only take him so far. And like you said,
totally,
he needs help. But
Zigoli!
But on the other side, I mean, it was a good Stanley Cup Finals. The games were very competitive, and we definitely were seeing the best of the best.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road, and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Now moving over to the NBA Finals, that's been quite the roller coaster that nobody expected. But despite the ups and downs, the Thunder can close out the series in Game 6 in Indiana on Thursday. And is that how you see this coming to an end?
Well, you couldn't have had a worse Game 5, right? 32 points off of 23 turnovers. Tyrese Halliburton has a calf strain, I believe, and he's a game-time decision. He's going to try and give that a go. That's going to push, if he can't go, it's going to push probably TJ McConnell into a starting role. And I don't know if TJ McConnell is necessarily a starter, right? He's a good spark plug. He's a guy that's going to make some shots and he's going to frustrate you coming off the bench. But I don't know if he's the guy. I don't know if he can do that. So Tyrese Halliburton's going to try like hell to make sure that he's out there. And he might have the Willis Reed attempt. The irony, he's going to try and have a Willis Reed moment. But
I've strained my calf before. It is incredibly painful.
Yeah.
And the problem you run into is, you know, you compensate for that injury. And by compensating for that injury, you can create another injury. So I just don't think it's wise for him to come back. And even if he was to come back, he probably should have sit out game six and attempt to play game seven. But, you know, the argument I'd make, Z, is you got to reinvent yourself. You got to understand what you can do and what you can't do. And when I say that is become a shooter. Become a spot-up shooter. Find your place in the corner. Find your spot on the floor. Very little dribble. And take your shot. You can do that, especially if you get going. The hard thing with the calf is the stop and go. And accelerating. Jumping high is forget about it. You know, you're just gonna fall. You're just gonna, you know, lose your balance. So
kind of hard for basketball though. It's the wrong sport. Wrong sport to have a calf strain.
Right. And you have no faith, and you're a defensive liability because you can't push off. You can't keep up. I mean, what they would do is, I'd say, go zone when he's out there. And like I said, I just don't think he should play in the next game. If he wants to play he wants to give it a go on Sunday with a lot of rest and a shot. Yeah, but, you know, I don't advise you do it because you can hurt something else.
But the Thunder, they smell blood in the water. I don't think it's going seven. I think it's over.
Yeah.
I think they punish you on defense. We talked about the Florida Panthers, how they punish you. The Thunder punish you. And they make you make mistakes.
They also play an old school version of basketball, right? Because they're not shooting threes, right? Well, last game, Williams was out of his mind, but traditionally,
generally speaking,
they get into a half-court set and they're taking mid-range shots and they're going to the basket. They're drawing fouls. They play like a 90s style of offense and a 90s style of basketball that we haven't seen. They have two bigs. They've got a guard that can penetrate. And they do have shooters, but that's not the game plan, right? The game plan is to penetrate and kick or to dribble down mid-range shot, which is, you know, something that we're not accustomed to seeing. We haven't seen a style of basketball like this, since before 2016, I want to say. Like, you know, you go back to when the Spurs were really good.
Yeah. It's, you know, they're a throwback team in an era of threes and, you know, a lack of defensive ability. I mean, just look at the Knicks series from the Eastern Conference Finals. The Knicks were supposed to be a defensive team, and they were spread out all over the court. They were running around like a chicken with their head cut off. Rick Carlisle was able to exploit that, and Rick Carlisle absolutely was able to pick that apart. But Mark Daniels' system, right? The Thunder, they're having a bit of a difficulty. Like, they picked off game one, but ultimately the adjustments are being made by the Thunder, right? They are doing what they need to do, and it's kind of showing that the Pacers are a little outgunned. Right, that they need, again, a team that needs more. Right, it's a good roster. They have good players, but they need more.
Well, right? I would have liked to see them play. I mean, I would like to see a healthy Pacer team playing a healthy Thunder team, but unfortunately, we're not getting that. Right, you know, let's just be real. I mean, the Pacers' best player is hurt. He's hurt to a degree that's affecting the series. And the Thunder are going to know pretty quickly in game six at what percentage is he at. If he's not at 100%, if he's not at even 80%, it's like you said, it's blood in the water. We got this.
It's completely, you know, blood in the water.
It's blood in the water. We're gonna throttle you too. Which stinks because, you know, with them stealing game one, it made it very interesting. And unfortunately, it's the attrition of this basketball season. There's too many freaking playoff games. There's too many regular season games. I want to see the two best teams at their best. I don't want them to see them exhausted and barely drudging through the finish line. I mean, you know, the Thunder are young, and yeah, they were able to weather the storm of the season, weather the storm of the playoffs, and hats off to Sam Presti for putting this team together. But is that what it's really about? Is it about building a team that can play 102 games or 108 games or whatever it is? Is that what we're going for here? I don't know. It's just kind of, it's frustrating for me because I really would have liked to, you know, see all these personalities and all these different players come to life. And, you know, I'm probably not going to watch game six. I really don't have an interest in it because I'm not getting a Pacer team that's at its best. And even if they did win that game, you're going to go back to, you know, Oklahoma City. And I just don't have any faith in you there.
No.
No, you can't, because that's when role players step up the best, right? A home game is when you get the best out of your role players. And if anybody, like, this is, game six is going to be the game where if there's anybody, whether it's Obi Toppin or Mathurin, or if anybody's going to go off, this is going to be the game. This has to be the game because there is no tomorrow, right? The gravity of the moment is there. And this is where we're really going to see what the Pacers are made of, because ultimately, you know, the Knicks didn't push them to that brink. The Knicks didn't get them to that point, but the Thunder have, and they're on the verge of closing this thing out. But speaking on the verge of closing something out, the Suns have been aggressively shopping Kevin Durant the last 2 weeks, and he's expected to move before the NBA draft. Kevin Durant's team list includes the Heat, Spurs, and Rockets, not the Knicks. So, out of his preferred landing spots, which one's most intriguing to you?
Well, to be honest with you, Zeev, the reports are that he was interested in the Knicks, and the Knicks are not interested in him. that's what I've heard. I've heard that the Knicks were on his list, and they told him thanks, but no thanks. And they might stem from the comments he said when he chose Brooklyn over New York a couple of years ago, or the fact that they just don't think he would be a good fit for what they've got going on. I tend to think differently. I think a Kevin Durant on this Knicks team would be really great. He helps Brunson out. You can say what you want about Kevin Durant. He can still shoot. He can still pass. He can still play defense. Like, he's still the Slim Reaper, man. So it's unfortunate the Knicks have decided not to go that route. I mean, what are we looking for here? I mean, if I'm Kevin, right, I'm going to Houston because I believe they have young talent, they have a really good coach, and they're close, right? If I'm the Spurs, this is an eye-opener to me, right? Because I have a high pick, I have Wemby. I mean, I can start to try to win right now and get Kevin Durant. But it's possible that the Spurs might punt on this. It's possible that they could say, you know what, we're gonna trade Fox and we're gonna take Harper, right, in the draft, mm-hmm. and we're gonna build around Wemby and Harper instead of building around Fox and Wemby. Possible they could do something like that. Spurs are a smart organization. The Heat, I just can't see that working. I can't see Pat Riley and Durant meshing well because of Heat culture. Like, you're going to come in to training camp and you're going to run, man. You're mm-hmm. going to run. We play defense. You got to be here by a certain time. Like, I don't think he's about that experience, right? That's not what he's really looking for. He's not willing to take on the Jimmy Butler kind of role there. And if you're going there, you're just going to look second fiddle to what LeBron did, what D-Wade did. So it's not even worth your time. You can make that argument about San Antonio too. San Antonio, I think, is a little different just because they're a well-run organization and they're set up for success. Not that the Heat aren't, but it's just that they did it in a different way. They did it with four guys or three guys where, you know, the Miami Heat, when they won, they were a super team, you know? So, I mean, for me, that's my order. I think if I'm Kevin, I'm going to the Rockets. My backup would be the Spurs, and the last team I'd want to go to is the Heat.
I'm actually surprised the Mavericks aren't on this list.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah. You know what?
Because you can have you can have AD, you can have Kyrie, you can have Cooper Flagg, and you can have KD. Unless Cooper Flagg is going back to Phoenix. Which, if I would just pack my bags now if I was Monty. But, you know, like that sounds intriguing to me. The other one, like the Houston one, I get what you're saying. But yes, you're going to have to, you're going to give up pick swaps, but you also, you're going to have to give some of that young core. Like Phoenix is desperate for young players. Devin Booker, he's getting older, right? You traded Ayton. Now you have Bradley Beal there, who nobody wants, right? You're not even trading to buy him out. You're not doing that. So, you know, I just don't see it because that's going to be very costly for the Rockets. The Spurs is intriguing. The Spurs move would be very intriguing. What's Wemby's health situation? Is Fox going to go back to Phoenix? Or is it going to be a situation where the number two pick is enough as part of a bigger package? I don't know. Because this draft, right? It's Cooper Flagg and then like everybody else.
No, don't say that because I think Harper is good. And there was the other kid from Rutgers that's pretty decent.
Which one? Ace Bailey?
Yeah.
Bailey's dropping.
They're not Flagg caliber, but they're good players. And I'm going to talk up, you know, Lewis, RJ Lewis from the St. John's, who will probably be like a second round pick. Some players in this draft, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's not that good. I think everybody's on caliber, but yes, Cooper Flagg is the piece that, you know, everybody should be chasing. But it's clear that he's going to the Mavericks, though.
He's absolutely going to the Mavericks. So if that's the case, if two and some other pieces and Fox, if that's enough to get the job done and you feel like that's going to be good for you, then go for it. My feelings about Kevin Durant are well known. If Kevin Durant is interested in your organization, you politely decline. Much in the same way if Aaron Rodgers is interested in your organization, you say, no, thank you, sir. That's where I am on guys like Durant and guys like Rodgers. And he's supremely talented. This is not about talent. This is about personality. This is about the chasing experiences. And he's already derivative. He had to go join the Warriors to get his ring. Right? He already did the LeBron thing. He already did the super team thing. So, you know, he doesn't have to worry about coming off as derivative because it's already, you know, it's already happened. The Heat thing, like that would be a nightmare. That's like Chad Ochocinco in Patriots camp.
Yeah.
We actually practice here, son. It's like,
I think they did make shit. The Super Bowl, though, that year. I think they lost, but I think they made it that year.
Yeah, but was Ocho on that team? I don't know.
I think that was the year they lost the Eagles, but I think he was on that team.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was like, I'm not going to make it out of training camp. I'm like, no. I'm just going to run. Like, no, this isn't Cincinnati. This isn't how it works. Like, no, you have to. We play a team game here. And that is very true in Miami. We play a team game here. Now, I mean, it would probably cost you Tyler Hero, like, whatever. But what's left on that team? Like what else is there? Jimmy's gone. You're gonna trade Hero.
Bam.
Are you necessarily better? And Bam. Like, are you necessarily better with a team of Kevin Durant and Bam? I'm not so sure about that.
I don't know what their plans are. I would assume... No, yeah, and it's Hero. It's Hero. They believe that Hero could take that step.
Yeah, so, but, you know, Phoenix is going to probably want Hero and picks. But I know Miami is resistant to moving on from Hero. Like, that's been the sticking point in a lot of these trades.
I would think Phoenix is just after picks, I would think. But then again, I don't know. I would think that they just want picks at this point because they have to start over. If they were to get a player, they can't pay him. They can't pay the player. They're so strapped because of Beal's contract. Beal has the worst contract in the NBA. Like, it's brutally bad. It's really bad.
They better be listening to Devin. Or they better be listening on Devin Booker too. Then,
yeah.
Like, who's going to get you more, Booker or Kevin Durant?
They don't want to punt on. Their GM does not want to punt on their team. Like, he wants to try to make this work, and unfortunately, you can't compete, and you're about to fall behind Dallas. You're already behind everybody. You're behind Denver. You're behind the Rockets. The Rockets are ready, right? You're behind everybody. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of do what the Rockets did. And it's just like, you're going to suck and you need to get some draft picks and start over. You know, and trade Booker. Just trade it. So,
You also have a situation like with Memphis. Like, Memphis is dealing off Desmond Bane. Like, you have Ja Morant there. Like, what are they doing? I mean, in recent years, they were as high as number two in the conference.
Yeah, I would assume they're going to try to build around Ja. You know, they're going to start.
Would Kevin Durant make sense for them?
No. I don't know. Maybe. But I don't think he wants to go either.
He doesn't want to play for a small market.
The Knicks failed to get coaches that already have jobs, so they have now scheduled interviews with Mike Brown and Taylor Jenkins for their head coaching position. So, which philosophy would work best for the New York Knicks?
Well, let's see. Taylor Jenkins, there was essentially a coup in Memphis that got him packing. But that was more of an organizational situation where the GM wanted to install his guy. So, you know, and when Taylor Jenkins was running and when they were going, Memphis was pretty good, man. Memphis was pretty good. Now, John Morant was out of control. John Morant was completely out of control while he was running the show. So there's something to be said about that. You don't have to worry about that with Jalen Brunson. He's not doing the finger guns. At least not that we know of. Not that we've seen. But I don't know. I think he's just going to wear out his welcome. I think that Taylor Jenkins was tuned out and eventually had to go. Mike Brown, he's not exciting. Like, Mike Brown doesn't do it for me. Like, yeah, I get it. Like, he coached LeBron once, and they got to the finals with LeBron.
He coached LeBron once.
Yes. Is that honest? Is that how you wrote it on your resume? Like, I coached LeBron? It's like, I once got Peyton Manning a ham sandwich.
I failed to win with the best player of this generation.
There it is. He's Adam Gase. I figured it out. No. Mike Brown is Adam Gase.
Oh, that's mean. That's just mean. Oh, he did a decent job with Sacramento, and he won.
He was all right.
He won championships with the Golden State Warriors. He was their bench coach.
As an assistant. Yeah. You know, but so did Kenny Atkinson.
He knows basketball, and Kenny knows basketball better than Adam Gase knows football. All right.
Yeah, but Mike Brown has a ceiling. Like, both of these guys have ceilings. And I don't know if they're going to get the best out of this. Now, you have a guy like Johnny Bryant, who's young, 39. He's on Kenny Atkinson's staff, actually, in Cleveland. And he's a hot name with a team that was just...
Game shutout, by the way. It's
me going. Oh, shoot. Just 5-0. God damn it. All right. Well, this is predictable. The House of Horrors that is Atlanta. But you wonder. No, they don't. They do not. They've never historically, even when it was Turner Field, they never played well. Never played well. But I don't know if this team won 50 games 2 years in a row. They were just in the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you want to turn the keys over to a 39-year-old who has never coached at this level before? Like, he's been an assistant, sure, but is that the way we want to go here? Like, I don't necessarily like Joe Mazzulla, second row Joe, who is no longer second row Joe. He's the outlier, and remember, he got the job because Ime Udoka was a pervert. So that's the reason why second row Joe got the job. But like, I don't know. I don't know. Established guys, that's not going to work. The young guy is going to get trampled. I really don't know who's going to be the fix here. Bobby Portis had a great idea. He just had a wonderful line. He just begged Tibbs to come back, admit the error of your ways, take him out to dinner, buy him flowers, do whatever you need to do, and beg Tom Thibodeau to come back. I don't necessarily think that's going to work, just because there's still really no offensive scheme unless he's bringing in an offensive coordinator who's not Rick Brunson. So, like, that wouldn't work. But this guy, whoever it is, needs to be an offensive-minded coach. Yes, you need to preach defense, but there has to be some semblance of offensive creativity in order to take the Knicks to the next level. So Jenkins and Brown aren't really doing it for me, but at least Brown, I think Brown is open-minded to the fact that he knows what he knows, and he knows what he's good at. So I think he'd be able to delegate much in the way that Steve Kerr delegates out in Golden State. So if you're forcing me to choose between those guys, I'm going with Mike Brown, but none of these guys are really doing it for me.
Yeah, I just think the Knicks are just going to fall back into what they've been the last several years. They're just another team, right? It's like there's no coach you're going to bring in that is going to have the success that Thibodeau did and take them to where they need to go. They're just, you know, I mean, it remains to be seen what Boston's going to do, because obviously they're in cap hell. But you see Orlando is already trying to make moves. You know, they're trying to get better. And you would assume that Milwaukee's going to do the same at some point. I agree with you. I think Mike Brown is the guy. I'm not a Toby Jenkins guy. But there has to be a different philosophy here. There has to be, you know, really more players. They need more players. You know, you talked about the Oilers needing more players. The Knicks need more players. They need better players. They need better bench players, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is what they're going to need. They need depth. Everybody's got to be ready to play. Everybody's going to have a role. And everybody's got to be able to gel. You know, players got to work on the side to gel better. You know, you don't see a lot of them, you know, when I watch Knick games, I don't see a lot of them talking on the side about, okay, like if I come to the elbow, roll down if he goes with you, or I'm gonna pop him, you know, stop and pop. Like, there to me, there's not a lot of, like, you know, creativity amongst the players. I mean, coaches can only do so much in the NBA, and a lot of it is just, you know, players being comfortable with working with each other. You know, it's amazing what Jalen Brunson does, his ability to get to the basket, his ability to score. Incredible, absolutely. He's got a beautiful fadeaway, he gets to the basket, he scores, but I need my point guard to be able to distribute, right? He's got to get everybody involved.
Yeah.
I'd rather him take 10 points off of his average just to get other people involved. Other people be ready to play and ready to make shots, ready to go to the basket, and ready to score. And I think that's a part of his game that they're going to have to do to be successful. Because if you look at the teams, right, that are in the finals right now, I mean, SGA is special. I mean, what he's doing, he's shooting over 50% from the floor. He's averaging 30 points a game. You're not going to be SGA. And on the other side, you have the Pacers, who are a team. Like, Halliburton is their guy, but he can easily pass it off to other players in their team who can put the ball in the basket. You know, so until the Knicks are able to do that, it's hard. I mean, as I do appreciate the Knicks, and I like the Knicks, and I root for the Knicks, but I can be honest with the situation to say that they're not going anywhere. Like, they're just not. There's no savior out there. Giannis is not going to save them. Kevin Durant's not going to save them. The new coach is not going to save them. They are what they are, right? They have no draft picks. They traded the farm for Bridges. They're stuck with Brunson. They're stuck with Towns. You're the third best or fourth best team in the East. And you've got to assume that with all the mileage on Brunson, that he's going to get hurt eventually. And when he does get hurt, then what? You know? So, Brown, Jenkins, Wright, Patino, doesn't really matter until they get their roster in a better situation. Surprising.
Well, that's the thing.
God, you can...
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, they still need a two guard, right? You're not going to be able to pick one up for cheap.
And Josh Hart, like, he's good, but he's like the Gio Urshela of basketball. Like, he's good, you know, but he's good in this system. He ain't worth a damn anywhere else.
But that's the thing. Like, you figure that this system is going to open up a little bit more under a new coach. And this rotation is going to open more. Like, we talked about it openly. Precious Achiuwa. What was the point of bringing him back? Like seriously, Tibbs buried him. Yeah. Why? You know? We're not even talking about OG. Like, I don't know why we're not talking about OG right now. Like, OG is a solid player. But, you know, the bench is definitely a killer. A change in scheme can possibly unlock the starting five, right? Getting away from Tibbs could kind of change that. But Campaign, right? Like, Deuce McBride occasionally was playing, you know, DeLone Wright, I think, Landry Shamet. Like, that's your bench. Like, that's who you're playing here. You drafted guys last year, they didn't get a sniff. What was the point? What was the point of drafting those guys? They didn't play. So you kind of hope, you're kind of hoping, but as presently constituted, this team has a ceiling, and it's up to the new coach. It's definitely up to whoever that may be to kind of figure out what's the best way to unlock the potential of this roster.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Surprisingly, the Boston Red Sox traded their highest paid player in franchise history, Rafa Devers, to the Giants on Father's Day for a few pitchers and a ham sandwich. Devers is having his best season ever in the DH, but the Red Sox were not pleased in his unwillingness to move to DH in the beginning of the season and his stance on not playing first base recently. The Giants also have a Gold Glove third baseman in Matt Chapman and an outstanding DH in Wilmer Flora. So how will Devers help his new team, the San Francisco Giants?
That's former Met Wilmer Flores to you. Outstanding DH, former Met Wilmer Flores. The Red Sox bring in Jordan Hicks, who throws 100, but generally speaking doesn't know where it's going. Kyle Harrison, who was a top prospect, but now is just kind of eh. Like, he shows flashes. Outfield prospect James Tibbs III, and rookie pitcher Jose Bayo, who is not related to Brian Bayo, just so you know. I looked it up to make sure. But that's not a big haul for one of your best offensive players. And if we believe what we're told, multiple reports indicate that Craig Breslow didn't even shop Devers around. It's like the Giants called and said, okay, let's do this. Yeah. It's like, hey, man.
When you get the answer you're looking for, hang up.
Right. This sounds very knee-jerk. It sounds like he got the phone call from Buster Posey. He's like, fuck you, Buster. God damn it, I'm in. Let's do this. But, and then lo and behold, guess where Rafael Devers is gonna play? First base. Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. So basically,
he struggled to put on his jersey in the press conference, which would have really frustrated me if I was Buster Posey. This motherfucker can't put on a jersey right now. Are you kidding me right now?
No, but think about it. The San Francisco Giants have a history with overweight third basemen. So, you know, if he turns back, if he turns into the Kung Fu Panda, I think they'll be very happy.
I saw an interesting, now, I saw an interesting stat, Zeke. The Giants have not had a player hit more than 30 home runs for them since Barry Bonds.
I believe it. I believe it.
I'm shocked at that stat. I'm shocked.
I mean, if you look at the roster of the teams that won World Series, Hunter Pence wasn't a home run hitter. That's for shit sure.
Oh, Hunter Pence. Now, who's that guy, right?
Buster Posey, not a home run hitter. Yeah, man. They were bereft of a slugger. That was a real legit. Those were teams. I think Angel Pagan was on one of those teams, for Christ's sake. You know, like, Jesus Christ. But it is really, it goes to show you that player relations matter. Right? You treat players poorly, and all of a sudden they're not going to want to work with you. Now, yes, we did lambaste Rafael Devers because at some point you're a professional. You kind of need to do what's best for the team. Like, it is not an individual sport. So you do kind of need to, you kind of need to figure some stuff out, right? So when they bring in Alex Bregman, you got to swallow your pride a little bit, and you got to figure out what you're going to do. Now, the whole lose your glove thing, you're now going to be a DH. I don't want to be a DH. Well, you lose your fucking glove because now you're going to be a DH. That doesn't work, right? Because you've already kind of poisoned the well. And then it's like, yeah, we need you to start taking reps at first base. Well, fuck you, right? This is become a very go fuck yourself. Exactly. Right? You just fuck you. Make sure my check is there every 2 weeks. That's your job. That's your job, Craig.
I don't speak a lot of English, but go fuck yourself.
But that's the thing.
I don't need a translator for this one. I kind of get. Listen, I get where he's coming from. I get where he's
I get it too. I get it too. But at the same time, like, yeah, you're kind of souring. You're souring the relationship with the organization, and ultimately, like, you can't come back from that. Like, Rafael Devers could not come back from this in Boston. It's a lot like Trouba with the Rangers, right? You traded my friend. Be careful, I might trade your ass next. Well, I got no movement clause. Oh yeah, we can make that. Well, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And next thing you know, have fun in Anaheim. Have fun in fucking
gladly,
Anaheim.
Gladly.
You prick.
You showed up your ass every time I play you.
Think somebody's having some fun with you. But, you know, the GMs who are like that and team presidents who are like this, good luck trying to sign a free agent. Good luck trying to extend a player come contract time, right? And this isn't the first time the Red Sox have done this. Mookie Betts, that ring a bell? Nomar? Yeah. Like, dude, this is kind of like a playbook. This is an expected playbook now. But all you need to know is that the Giants made Devers feel welcome. The Giants make Devers feel special. Like, we got you. We think you're the missing piece to this roster. We have a gold glove third baseman. We went and got you. because we think you're going to be the missing piece to this team.
Can you play first?
Can you please play first?
Please.
Where's my glove, Skip? Notice how things change, right? Where's my glove? So it really is a lesson in how to relate to players, how to communicate your message with players, and how not to poison the well. Now, what can he do? What will he be? I mean, he's got to friggin', like, he's got to be the power source that they're looking for, right? You can't all of a sudden get swallowed up by Oracle Park, like many other players have been swallowed up. Yeah, left everybody not named Barry Bonds. Yeah. Like, so, but the wind is tricky there. So you kind of have to figure it out. But what can you expect from Devers? I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to be reinvigorated, and I think he's going to play well. And Chapman, you don't have to worry too much about Chapman because, you know, he's playing third. He's doing his thing. You know, if Adamas think about that. If Adamas gets his head on straight, you now have Chapman, Devers, Adamas in the middle of that order. That's not bad. You need a couple more pieces. But Lee's not bad. Yastrzemski's not bad. The Giants,
San Francisco,
they may stick around. Like, we thought that they would fade. They may actually have some staying power now. But I mean, we're gonna see. But like, if I'm Craig Breslow, I might consider like leaving my stuff in a cardboard box just in case I get called into the office.
It's, yeah,
like, I'm already packed.
Yeah,
I'm out of here.
I mean, listen, I like I said, I see both sides of it. I see the side where it's like, hey guys, like, you brought in somebody to play third. I don't want to be the DH, but okay, I put my glove away and I'm gonna focus on being a DH. And now you're in trouble and you need me to play first. Like, come on, man, I put my glove away. Like, what? I'm not just gonna come here and do whatever you ask me to do. I'm not a circus animal. I'm not a clown, you know. So I get that. On the other hand, paying you $249 million, do what I ask you to do. Be a baseball player.
Right.
Be a baseball player. Okay. I'm not asking you to be a third baseman. I'm not asking you to be a DH. I'm not asking you to be a first baseman. I'm asking you to be a baseball player. And you know what? Some guys are not built for that. You know, baseball is a very mental game. Very mental. And some people got routines. Some people have certain mentalities. And so I can get on board with him being like, nah, man. Like, this is... I don't agree with you not answering calls from the owner. I don't...
No.
The guy's paying you. When he calls you, you pick up, you talk to him, and you have respect. You're not going to show that. You're not going to stay. That's just... You can't show disrespect to the owner, right? And on the other side, the Giants finally get their guy. Like, the Giants whiffed on Aaron Judge. Correa failed his physical. They haven't been able to get a guy to come and play there. Now they got a guy that's coming to play there. So make the most of it. What are you going to do about it? I think they're in second place, I believe. They're a couple of games behind the Dodgers. You can compete with the Dodgers now. So make the most of it, because he's going to be there. He ain't going there. That's the other thing that, you know, I understand how the Red Sox fans are upset. But ultimately, this guy didn't want to be there anymore. Like, he was offended with the Bregman thing. You're losing out on another homegrown player. But at the end of the day, you got the Giants to pay his whole salary. Like, even when the Yankees traded for Alex Rodriguez, the Rangers are still paying his salary. The Red Sox are not paying any of this motherfucker's salary. So rejoice in that. They've got young players. Apparently, they got the number one prospect in all of baseball who's just joined their club. So you're going to, you know, you're building fresh. You're starting new, and you make the most of it. That's it. But talking about other teams, both the Mets and the Yankees had a rough weekend. The Yankees got swept in Boston in three low-scoring games. Then they lost to the Angels last night. I think they're tied with the Angels right now. Probably going to lose that game.
They're currently losing 3-2.
There you go. The Mets got swept by the Rays at home. They dropped their game to the Braves yesterday, and they just lost to the Braves today. and they're having their first series against the third place Braves. This is their first time playing in the series this season. So which team should be more concerned, Yankees or the Mets, with how things are going right now?
Well, let's look at it really quickly. Both of them are on 5-game losing streaks. Yankees are close to extending it to 6. So that's an issue. It's 3-2. They finally scored. That's good. They have been shut out, I think, the last 3 games. The Yankees are what the Yankees are. Like, they're the exact same team, right? They perform the exact same way as last year against the Dodgers. Lots of bonehead, silly mistakes, self-inflicted wounds, and it doesn't matter because they are who they are, right? Cole is out. Freed's been doing really well. Rodon looks rejuvenated. So there's that. They have a little bit of hope. They absolutely have a little bit of hope. It also doesn't hurt that the Yankees are playing the Angels, and then, you know, their schedule is such that they're not running through the meat of their division. Like, this weekend, they're playing the Orioles. That's a get-right series. The Orioles are... It should be a get-right series. If they can't get right this weekend, that's a problem. The Mets, on the other hand, are not just losing, they're also losing players. McGill just went down. Alvarez looks lost. Vientos is hurt. Manaea is on a rehab assignment looking like trash. Montas, he's putting the ass in Montas. It's just, you know, it's that swoon that you inevitably get, right? You lost Kodai Senga because Pete Alonso can't throw the ball to first base. He's like Rube Baker. Like, it's terrible. Like, he needs to start thinking about Fredericks of Hollywood or something, because he's got to be able to throw the ball to first base without getting his pitcher injured. Come on now. And that's the second time with Senga, because Senga crashed into Pete when he was covering first base. So, you know, Kodai Senga is very lucky that he's not hurt more. But the schedule, say what you will about the Braves, the Braves are starting to turn things around. They're not buried. Acuna coming back was a shot in the arm. They're playing better. Then you go to take on the Phillies. Then you get the Braves again. This could be disastrous because you're playing the two best teams in your division, and you only have a 3-game lead against the Phillies. So this could be a ships passing in the night situation if you don't get your fucking act together. You can't run Paul Blackburn out there. Paul Blackburn got his ass handed to him again. Right? You're relying on Clay Holmes. No, he didn't get much help, but Paul Blackburn can't lay an egg. He had one decent outing since he's been back. So you need to be better. Griffin Canning started out amazing, starting to regress back to the mean. He needs to be better. Peterson has been phenomenal. Like,
yes.
And then let's get to last night. Peterson gets into the 8th inning. Bases loaded. Reed Garrett almost gets out of the jam. Wiggles his way to 2 outs, right? Bases loaded, 2 outs. One bad pitch wrecks everything. But this is to be expected when the Mets go into Atlanta. This is routine for them. Now, after the game, you know, Garrett wanted to go fastball and Alvarez called him off. He changed the signs to a splitter. So we see what happened. Ozuna was ready for that splitter. It was there. So we'll see. Alvarez, he looks lost. Beatty is up and down. Mauricio is still finding his way. Vientos was lost when he was healthy. Winker's hurt. Like, dude, it's a friggin' like, and John Heyman's talking about, Luis Torrens should be the guy until Alvarez can figure, well, Luis Torrens made an error tonight. So good. So that's the thing about backups. Eventually, they inevitably get exposed. So it wouldn't surprise me, and I wouldn't mind it if the Mets started looking around for a little upgrade at catching. You know, maybe Alvarez can actually come out from behind the plate and be the answer at DH. Maybe he needs a stint at Syracuse. But I'm looking at Salvi Perez. If the Royals fall out of this, what would it take to get Salvador Perez on my team? That guy's a fucking amazing catcher. I would love if Salvador Perez was on this team.
You're gonna trade for Jake Taylor?
What would it cost? It is. If it got me a ring? Absolutely. And say, you know what? Say what you will about Perez. Yeah, he's old and he's breaking down, but you're not. You're only going for, you're going for it with the World Series, right? This is a team that is knocking on the door. You have to compete with the Dodgers, and I think Salvi Perez is in a better headspace and understands what it takes, since he has a ring. He understands what it takes to get to that level. But Alvarez is still very much learning on the job. So I'm not saying you trade Francisco Alvarez, but maybe you carry three catchers for a while and just have him just focus on hitting, or just take something off of his plate, because right now it looks like a little too much for him. But
yeah, I mean, for me, I think, listen, at the end of the day, the Yankees, they should be concerned that they're not scoring, you know, but there's nobody in the American League that's going to really stop them from making it to the World Series. I think they should be concerned that they're not scoring. They're not scoring enough runs. And they should be concerned that, you know, when Aaron Judge doesn't do well, they don't do well. Too much of their success is tied to one player. Like, that would be the problem with the Yankees, right? Their closer situation is a mess. You know, their middle relief situation's a mess. Their guys they called up haven't been playing as well as they should, right? Volpe isn't what we thought he was going to be, right? Rice is okay.
Dominguez
is okay. Like, these were guys that Cashman held on to, and they're okay. They're not like, it's like if you look back to what they were offered and in trades and how he lauded them and held them back and was not going to give them up no matter what. It's like, you fucked up. Like, there's no other way to put it. Volpe is a strikeout machine. He strikes out too much. I don't know how he won a gold glove, because his fielding is erratic. He did a jump throw yesterday. I mean, it was just like, what are you doing?
It was horrible.
What?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Who taught you
that? You're not Jeter.
You're not Jeter, man. And you got the guy out. I think it was Salvador Perez was running, but ball is up in the air. It's like, you're doing a pop-up. What the hell is that? Don't ever do that again. Don't you ever fucking do that again.
Nice catch, Hayes. Don't ever fucking do it again.
Right? Like, you know, so they have a lot of holes to plug, I think. But at the end of the day, there's nobody that's going to challenge them, especially now the Red Sox. The Red Sox haven't punted on the season, but they got rid of their best player. I mean, they should not be a problem now, right? And then the Rays they're not challenging you. The Orioles are terrible. The Blue Jays are not contenders. The Tigers are your biggest threat, and it's the Tigers. You're not going to lose a 7-game series to the Detroit Tigers. I don't care who they throw on the mound. It's just not going to happen, right? So we flip to the Mets.
I would say the Tigers are better than the Yankees.
But they're not.
And Tampa Bay has the best record.
Let's see, they're not.
But Tampa Bay also has the best record. They absolutely can beat the Yankees. Have you seen the Yankees? Base running blunders, fielding mistakes. The Detroit Tigers
are not going to go into Yankee Stadium and beat the Yankees. They're not. Not this year. Maybe next year. But not this year. You got to get over that whole pinstripe and all the bullshit and all the hoopla. They haven't been.
You're the one who's actually doing that. It's funny that you're saying that. You're buying into the pinstripe bullshit. These Yankees are hot garbage. These Yankees are hot garbage.
Z, they have the third best record in major leagues, and they have the second best run differential. They have the best player in baseball on their team. Aaron Rodgers.
And he can be pitched to.
Aaron Judge. Yes. Yes, he totally can. You could totally pitch around him. 100%. He's either the first or the second best player in professional baseball. Yeah, I agree with you. Yes. You can pitch around him. Teams won't. These Scooble and
Wash did.
Guys are going to try to pitch to him. I'm telling you, they're not. And that's the other thing. The Tigers got to get to that point. They got to hope that they don't get clipped by like an Angels or what's another team? Like, the Indians. They got to hope they don't get clipped in a 5-game series or a 1-game playoff by trash. You know, that's the gauntlet, right? It's running the gauntlet. The Yankees are good at running the gauntlet. Right, the garbage that Major League Baseball makes teams jump through these days. They're good at that. And in a 7-game series, they can beat the Tigers. Now, maybe not in a 5-game series, maybe not in a playoff, like a 1-game or 2-game. Yes, yes, totally plausible. But in the 7-game series, the Detroit Tigers are not going to go into Yankee Stadium and beat the Yankees. Just not. So now we flip to the other side, the Mets. I mean, you want to talk about hot garbage? Atlanta's hot garbage, but I will give Atlanta credit because they won today and they won yesterday because their manager basically put them on blast. He rearranged their pitching order for this series in particular because this is like, guys, show me that we can compete at this level because up to this point, you haven't. We're 6 games under 500. We can't beat anybody. We can't hold leads. We can't outscore anyone. Show me against the best team in our division that we can compete. And they've competed for 2 days. So, bravo to them. In my opinion, the Mets are the only team in Major League Baseball that I think can put a scare into the Dodgers. They can, believe it or not. I think they can. But the problem is they got to get there, right? They've got to get through the Phillies. Now, if the Braves play this way, they'll have to get through the Braves. They'll have to play a really good Padre team or a really good Giant team. Like, these are teams that they're going to have to play. So, if any team, if you're telling me which team should be more concerned about how they're playing as of late, I'd say the Mets. But in the long run, the Yankees have a lot more to figure out.
The Yankees are the same old song and dance. The same issues that cropped up last year are cropping up this year. You just have different teams, right? You just have different players. Instead of Verdugo, it's Bellinger, for example. It's still not anything beyond Aaron Judge, right? Juan Soto helped a little bit last year. Stanton should help now, but you can't have a two-man lineup. You can't bank on the fact that DJ LeMahieu is going to suddenly go back to when he was winning batting titles. You still haven't really fixed third base. Right? If anything, the guy with limited range should be playing third base. No, Jazz should be at second. At least that's my thought process. You have a guy in Ben Rice who's never caught before, and he's catching tonight. He caught tonight.
And yeah.
Tell him, Wash. It's not that hard. Tell him, Wash. It's very fucking hard. It's incredibly hard. Like, what are we doing here? This guy's learning how to be a catcher. The most important position on the field. He's learning how to do it on the fly. What are we doing? This is because Brian Cashman prospect hugged completely. Like the chickens are coming home to roost on that. That being said, right, in the immediate moment, the Yankees can still get fat. They still have the opportunity. the division, this gauntlet that the Mets have to run through, it's extremely taxing, and you've already lost five in a row. So you have the potential to really dig a hole right now. Yes, Manaea might be coming back. Yes, Montas might be coming back. Yes, Senga may be back in 5 weeks. Maybe. We'll see. Hamstrings are tricky, especially for a pitcher. Like, this could be a potential swing. The Mets don't hit well with runners in scoring position. They don't. They're one of the worst. I believe they're 26th in the league with runners in scoring position.
Who hired this crew?
How does Eric Chavez still keep his job? Has he got, like, naked pictures of somebody? Like, I don't know. But it's routine. Now, it's routine. The middle, it's routine for that. Like, the middle relief is decent. They still need a setup guy. Like, they've got some pitchers, but ultimately, nobody scares me. Like, if I run up Buteau against the Dodgers, I'm like, the Dodgers are laughing at you. You're gonna, you know, Reed Garrett can only do so much for you. You got to get the ball from the starting rotation to Diaz. That's an issue, right? They're not totally there. Stanek has been up and down. I like Stanek, but he's been up and down. Right? You've had hit or miss from your rotation. This is tough. Long term, the reason why I think the Mets are in better position than the Yankees isn't so much that, you know, you're going to be more battle tested and you have more guys coming, but you also have a GM and an owner who's willing to make the moves. In recent years, the Yankees have been hesitant to make these kinds of moves because of financial implications or prospect implications. If the Yankees really want to be on that level and they want to be with the Tigers, and if they want to be the representatives for the American League in the World Series, they're going to have to take some major swings here. They're not just going to stick Jason Dominguez out in left field and hope for the best. You're not just going to live with a guy learning how to catch on the fly. You're not going to live with Mark Leiter Jr. coming out of the bullpen. And there's some major holes there. And it's true, the American League is easier to win. The Tigers have fewer holes. Right? The Rays will put a scare in you, but ultimately they're not going to pose a threat, but they'll put a scare into you. They're going to chase you down because that's what the Rays do. Every year we discount the Rays, and what happens? They're there. It's the sons of bitches managed to get there. And we're asking, how the fuck did they get there? And don't discount the Astros. Don't discount the Mariners. There are teams that can give the Yankees a scare here. So we're going to see what happens. Neither team looks great right now. Both teams look incredibly flawed. But I think, in the grand scheme of things, it is a June swoon. It's a blip. Both teams will settle themselves. And they'll get reinforcements come trade deadline time.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the PopStars Balloon team
shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstar's Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstar's Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstar's Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstar's Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route today, we have resident Met fan and Pace professor, George Chacko. Thanks for coming on, George.
Hey. Thank you for having me. It's been a while.
I think you've been celebrating that Boston championship with Rich. That's probably why I was thinking so.
No, not me. I think last time I was on this call, I was screaming for Julius Randle to get traded.
Oh, that guy. And it worked. Yeah. And it worked. And it worked.
Clearly, James Dolan and Leon Rose listened to the show.
They must definitely listen. 100%. Tibbs listened to the show, too. That's why he's got
well.
But anywho, well, we'll start you off with just that. Then we'll start you off with the Knicks. Yeah. They have extended their coaching search to coaches looking for new teams because, you know, originally they were looking for guys that already had jobs. Mm-hmm. So have they called you yet and are you interested?
They did. I'm not ready. I'm not in the headspace right now to take this on. I think I need a few more superstars before I can become a head coach of the New York Knicks. But, you know, in the near future, for sure. Someone younger like me, more adapt to the new techniques in the NBA, but you know, when the time is right, I'll sign the dotted line.
Well, they interviewed Toby Jenkins this week and Mike Brown. I mean, are those guys that, you know, you kind of agree with, you like the direction they're going now?
This is probably going to be an unpopular opinion. I am not crazy about the Mike Brown idea. I think he's a great coach. Don't get me wrong. He's got a track record, but I think he is defensive minded. He is a little bit of that old school type. I have too much PTSD with Tibbs to take Mike Brown on at this time. I think, and you know, I'm not too far into the coaching. I've taken a little break after that, meltdown against the Pacers. But in my mind, I'm looking for a younger coach who is looking more in the newer generation of basketball. In my very little research, I think one name that I like quite a bit, and I think this name might have popped up on some interviews and some websites. I think SI put this name out there, and I'm probably going to butcher his name, but James Borrego. Mm. He was previously with the Spurs, a pop student. You know, I like anybody that comes out of the Pop school of coaching, right? I think Pop is like the greatest coach and anyone coming out of the system is like a can miss, right? I think what he did with the Charlotte Hornets was amazing. Made them a 47-win team, right? He develops talent. Malik Monk, Alonzo Ball, all these guys. So, I mean, the Knicks have a lot of talent. And, you know, our biggest troubling point was Tibbs ran these veterans into the ground. No offense. Playing Josh Hart and Mikal Bridges 42 minutes a game is crazy. It's not sustainable in today's NBA.
So you were okay. You were ready to see him go?
Yes. Okay. I was a little up and down here on that one because I do like Tibbs. I do respect what he did. But somewhere along this season, I was like, this is enough of this guy because he's running these guys into the ground.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, he never really had an offensive scheme. He never had a set play. You know what I mean? It was all defense, defense. And that's great. Defense and championships, I get it. But their offense was get the ball to Jalen Brunson and let him be Mr. Clutch.
Yeah.
Which
I mean,
out.
I do believe they played hard for him. I think they did take advantage of a weakened playoff tree this year. You know, Z and I talked about, you know, demise of the Bucks and the Heat the Celtics eventually. I think at the end of the day, for me, they didn't develop. You know, I didn't feel like there was a development over the years. Yes, he won 10 playoff games. Yes, he got them to the Eastern Conference Finals, but I did not see player development. Like,
not
I didn't
all.
See them playing better together, right? I
yeah.
mean, yeah, individually they played good defense and even good team defense, but offensively, did they really develop? Was there chemistry? Were they working on that on the side? And then, you know, we talk about how he runs players into the ground and he's got a way about him. And I don't think there would have been a big jump to go to the next year. They climbed as high as they could climb with him.
Yeah.
And I think it was fair that they move on. And I think, you know, you mentioned a nice young guy, but yeah, I can see young being way to go instead of established, because let's be real, those guys we talked about, they haven't really won anything, right? I mean, they
right.
definitely got people places and they got far, but
right.
they didn't actually win, you know?
Right. And for all Knicks fans out
as
there...
As a head coach,
yeah. All Knicks fans out there, I really, really love JVG, but enough with the Jeff Van Gundy calls. Let's not go back into our past.
Yeah.
Let's move forward.
There's plenty of guys out there. There's plenty of guys out there.
Yeah, we don't need to dig up coaches of the past and bring them you know, I think someone like Borrego or oh my god, his name's eluding me, the young guy on the Knicks that Phoenix is probably gonna hire. Johnny
father.
I swear. Oh, you know, let's talk about the elephant in the room. How about a little Jay Wright? It's never gonna happen because you gotta put that name out there, right?
You already said
you
no.
He can, but he, you know.
Wow.
Patino already
said
no. Billy Donovan said no. You know.
Yeah, it's,
yeah.
You know, it's.
But James Dolan's got deep pockets.
He does. I just, I like the idea of going young, going with a guy, you know, like look at what the Thunder did. You know, they brought in a young guy and they sucked for, you know, for the first year, and then they got a little better, and now they're about, you know, to win the championship possibly. But, you know,
Mike Malone, another name. Not interested.
No. It's just not a good fit. But one of the free agents, or not a free agent, but a guy that's been put on the market, Kevin Durant, is interested in being traded to the Heat, the Spurs, the Rockets, and he plans to sign an extension if he goes to one of those teams. Rumor has it that Kevin was interested in the Knicks.
But they weren't interested
in him.
Hell
Does that
no.
make any sense to you?
Does everyone forget the whole Brooklyn KD Kyrie shenanigans? It's too fresh in my mind as a Knicks fan.
Is that it? Absolutely.
You don't want to be here when we were trying to make it. Now we're good, and all of a sudden you wanted to be here all along. No shot.
I mean, he is a veteran. He's still got the shot. He can still score. He wouldn't have to do it all by himself here. They've proven they're a good defensive team. I mean, You're talking.
What are we giving up? What are we giving up for KD?
What's it going to cost? It's definitely going to cost Towns, probably Bridges, and probably two picks. It's probably
Bridges goes back to Phoenix. To me,
they'll flip him. They'll take him and flip him.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, Kitty's a great player. Don't get me wrong. I'll probably get crucified, but the stigma of the last snub that he did to us, as a fan, and I'm speaking purely as a fan, I'm not talking about the game, I would have a hard time, dealing with that. And he's gonna want to get out the first sign of trouble.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. I mean, he's definitely put some bad taste in the mouths of a lot of people. But it's crazy, you know, what a difference 2 or 3 years makes, right? Like 2 or 3 years ago, you know, the Knicks were like all along Kevin Durant, and they were so upset when he chose Brooklyn over the Knicks, saying, they're old and they're not new, they're not hip, they're, you know, remember he was dishing out those kind of things. He's like, I want to live in Brooklyn. I want to play for Brooklyn. It's like, what? Yeah. It's like, you know, so I can understand. But, you know, Kevin Durant's old team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, looked to close out the NBA Finals and win their first championship in their history tonight. Some Knicks fans have argued that the Thunder style of play would have played right into the Knicks' hands this year. So how do you think the Knicks would have fared against this Thunder team?
That's an interesting one, and if I'm going to be 150% honest...
Please. That almost was the name of this show, 150% honest.
I'll give you two honest answers. One, I've faded a little bit on the NBA because my Knicks are out, and I don't, you know, the pain is too fresh, too soon, as they say, too soon.
So you were hurt. But you were hurt. You were hurt by that loss. It hurt you.
I was hurt by that loss because it was to Indiana. It was to Halliburton doing a choke, Reggie Miller choke sign, 3/4 of the way through the first game of the series, and we came out and laid a dud. Yes, I was hurt. There is no reason. I don't care what anybody says. Knicks should have beat Indy. And I genuinely thought we would be able to beat OKC, but had we gotten out of the Indy series, the way we played against Indy, and again, this goes back to Tibbs running the veterans into the ground. Karl Anthony Towns looked like he was running on one leg. Josh Hart looked like he was out of gas. He didn't know what he was doing. He was deer in headlights again all of a sudden, like 3 years ago. You know, I just don't think, if you look matchup-wise, the Knicks defense would slow down SGA probably. The whole grinded mentality probably would slow down the Thunder a little bit. But the emergence of Dylan Williams and just the sheer MVP caliber that SGA is, I just don't think the Knicks would have enough juice in them to pull this off. That being said, I see that they're struggling against Indy, so I haven't watched the finals to know exactly how they've played this final. But I think they would have. My guess, the way they lost, my guess probably OKC in 5 or 6 would have been my guess.
That's fair.
That sounds about right. I mean, they're it's very much in the same way. You have one ball dominant player, and then the rest are kind of just like buzzing around. That plays right into the Thunder's hands. 32 points off of 23 turnovers in game 5. That's all you need to know. They forced 23 turnovers, and Jalen Brunson being ball dominant, forget it, man. Forget it. But I think we can call the Knicks dead and buried.
Yeah, I'll say this. Watching the Indy games 2 and 3 specifically, watching Jalen Brunson and trying to dribble through 2 and 3 guys and throw up shots that had no reason being thrown up reminded me a lot of the Julius Randle days where he was just throwing a ball up in the air and calling Hail Mary. But I'm not saying we're on that level yet, but he needs to learn to pass the ball out of double and triple teams because clearly Indy was doubling him and he was not handling the ball well. Again, I'm probably salty at this point. To be honest.
No, it's a valid criticism. It is an absolute valid criticism because Mikal Bridges was not the guy that he was advertised to be. Karl Anthony Towns looked lost on defense. Josh Hart, he showed effort. But offensively, they need more. They absolutely need more. But I don't know. I know you're not big on KD, but what about Giannis? Would that be something that's a little bit more palatable to you? Or does it just depend on what it takes?
Depends on what it would take. If I'm dismantling this team to get Giannis, because in my mind, if I'm Milwaukee and I'm giving up Giannis, and I know that Damon Lillard is coming off a torn Achilles at the age of 35, is as good as done. I'm rebuilding. I'm not taking on Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns. I'm rebuilding. So what am I giving up for Giannis, right? That is my biggest question. If we can get away with Bridges and Deuce McBride and a handful of picks, yeah, absolutely. That's a crazy trade. It'll never happen. But if you're saying Kat and Mikal Bridges and Deuce McBride and picks, that's a lot. For a guy who's in his early 30s. Then again, I really like this team. I think the makeup of this team is fantastic. Are we missing a superstar? Sure. That's the nature of the NBA today. I love this team. I love the makeup of this team. I think, and this is going to be sounding horrible, but I think the one thing this team is missing is Dante DiVincenzo. I think the heart that he brought to the playoffs last year was missing this year.
Defense, ball distribution.
Yeah, I don't think it was Giannis. I don't think it was KD. I think it was that extra heart, the extra push is what that was missing.
Or maybe they should have waited a year and traded for Desmond Bane like the Magic just did.
Yeah.
If the Knicks knew he was available, they would probably have jumped on that. Because all of a sudden, you got to figure Orlando is a real contender now. Between him and Ben Carroll,
all in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all in for this year. That was a very interesting trade. And clearly Memphis is rebuilding. I'll tell you what, forget Giannis and KD and all these big names. If we're going young, let's talk Jaren Jackson.
Mm.
If we're having a fire sale, let's talk Jackson from Memphis.
Mm.
Pair him in the front court with Kat. That's a defensive, what Mikal Bridges was advertised is what you're going to get from Jaren Jackson.
Catch part two of our interview with George Chacko later this week.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an alleged superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at thefadestorewithdnz.com. That's thefadestorewithdnz.com.
Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for your Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, on our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and on our Spotify page, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know, D, who took home the coveted ass trophy last week?
I don't.
That would be Arina Sabalenka. Yeah. You can't talk that shit. You really can't talk that shit. You gotta learn to be gracious in defeat. You can't be doing the sun was in my eye when you're the number one overall women's ranked tennis player. You can't do that. can't do that. Arina Sabalenka, yeah, no. Learn how to be better. Chris Everett was right. So that was last week. This was this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got backup quarterback on the Cleveland Browns, Shedeur Sanders. Cited for going over 100 miles per hour in Cleveland. What are you doing, bruh? You not read about Henry Ruggs? What's the matter with you? Shedeur Sanders, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, Connor McDavid. Lost to the Florida Panthers again. This time in six games. Didn't have any points in game six. Do better, man. Just do better. Connor McDavid, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last and certainly not least, the New York Yankees, who have now lost six games in a row, and they have been shut out in three of those games. They just can't seem to get the scoring going. If it's not coming from Judge, it's not coming from anybody. New York Yankees, you are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. What do you got to see?
I mean, great choices. You really can't go wrong with them. The Yankees are, yeah. You can't be losing to the Angels. Cannot be losing to the Angels. You want to talk about a team that's vastly inferior? That's a team that's vastly, vastly inferior to you. And you're making them look like, you know, you're making them look like a juggernaut. I'm going to start with the U.S. men's national team. Prior to their victory against Trinidad and Tobago, which, honestly, us and nine other guys could have walked out there and beaten Trinidad and Tobago. 4-0 loss to Switzerland, 4-match losing streak prior to that. None of the top players are currently on international duty, and Captain America's commitment to the squad is being questioned. What are we doing? We're hosting the World Cup in less than a year. What the hell are we doing? U.S. men's national team, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, the Knicks. Denied permission to speak with Billy Donovan after being denied permission to speak with Quinn Snyder, after being denied permission to speak with Jason Kidd, Ime Udoka, and Chris Finch. I'm starting to sense a pattern here. You got Mike Brown, you have Taylor Jenkins, you have, who the hell else? Like, maybe Rick Brunson wants to interview for the job, I don't know. But I'm starting to sense a pattern here. Stop trying to poach other people's coaches. Find somebody who can replace Tibbs that won't cost you draft picks or a player. New York Knicks, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, soccer pundit Alexi Lalas. We often talk about our diversity, and we talk about it as one of the advantages we have. But with diversity comes diversity of thought. If I go and ask 100 soccer players out there on what's beautiful soccer, I'm going to get 100 answers. It may be based on ethnicity, where you grew up, even geography, all these different things. So I've argued that the homogenous nature of some of the of countries and cultures just in population in terms of size are much more manageable. Dude. Come on now. Diversity of thought is a good thing. Diversity of thought is what got Greg Berhalter canned, right? Because you'd still be running that stupid bullshit of playing it out of the backfield and hanging on for dear life, hoping for a draw. You need diversity of thought. You need diversity of player. What's broken in the U.S. system is pay to play. What's broken in this system is that it's not hungry. There's nothing there. These players in these other countries use their football skill, right? And that hunger and that drive to better themselves, to get out of their situation, to become great. American soccer is born on third base by comparison. The diversity of thought is bringing in these people and saying, how can you show us how to be hungry again? How can you show us to be that dog that we need to be in order to compete on the world stage? Because we have our own soccer, we have our own best players, alleged best players, not even want to suit up.
Alleged.
Our alleged best players don't even want to suit up. Alexi Lalas, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. And go to our Spotify page and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.